Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bewitching Book Tours Blog Talk Radio. I am GL Ross, your host. Our guest today is award-winning author Dako. In 2013, her debut novel was a number one bestseller. In 2015, she garnered several awards with her short story, The Pisces Affair. She is known for her strong female characters, so it will come to no surprise that Dako is not only a writer, but also a member of the Alabama State Bar. Welcome, Dako.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today, but I have to say one thing. We have to have
a
lesson in how to say my
name wrong. Yes, is it Dako,
right? It's Dako.
Okay,
pardon
I'm
me?
Sorry. I finally corrected myself at the very last time. The first two times I did it wrong, but the last time I think I finally got it right, and I do apologize.
No. Everybody does.
It's very few people that
ever get it correct.
Well, where did it come from? It's such an unusual name.
Right. My father was a theoretical physicist, and so he studied relativity, black holes, and all that stuff. So the first child that they had, my mother named him while he was out to sea or something like that. And so he was a little bit aggravated that she used the same name as his. So she said, okay, the compromise, you can name the second one. And therefore he took full advantage of that and decided to name me after a formula. So my name is the first derivative of the acceleration of the speed of light, which is, you know, I guess he named me the speed of light.
That's fascinating. I mean, there aren't many people that can say that is how their name came about. That's really a cool story.
Thank you. But that's true. Although today you see more and more unique names.
This is very true. Well, let's get into your new book, Electromancer. You're talking about the speed of light, that made me think about her powers with her electricity. So tell us about Alexa Manchester, a.k.a. Electromancer, and how she received her powers and what makes her tick as a person.
Okay. Electromancer, or let's start with Alexa Manchester. She's the heiress to an energy empire, which was left to her when her father mysteriously disappeared. So he was developing a new hydroelectric generator. It was going to change the world's energy crisis. And I should say this is in a parallel universe. So anyway, he was a meteorite hunter, and he found a meteorite. And this meteorite that came from outer space had all these fantastic abilities. And so he was going to use it for the good of people, and he was going to create this generator. But he disappeared, and in the meantime, she took over the project. And just as they were unveiling it to the whole world, a big everything went wrong. Big explosion, da da da, and boom, poof, Electromancer came into being. Electromancer is a her powers then were like the ability to harness electricity as well as to fly at the speed of light. So does that kind of give you the intro?
Yes. How on earth do you come up with these ideas?
You know, that's a funny thing. I just don't know. They just hit me. sometimes, I know, it's like an author. We're just kind of crazy kooky. But, you know, sometimes a story will come right at me. And I'll know the beginning, the middle, and the end, and I'll just whip it out. Sometimes I just have to struggle through to, you know, figure out what a story is going to be about. But in this case, it's a little bit different because my publisher, and the head editor, came to me and she said, we've got an idea. We want you to mull around. We want you to write a superhero book. You can do dark, light, comic book, whatever you want to do. So I said, okay, let me think about it. And, you know, I really had no idea where this was going to go. And, you know, it just hit me. I have to do the comics. I have to do the old Superman. I have to do the Batman and Robin. It's got to be fun. It's got to be funny. It has to be light. There's just nothing out there like that.
Right.
And so that's that's where it came, originated. And so that story, then I had the premise, and I sort of worked from there.
Well, now, did you grow up loving comic books?
I did. I my brother always got them. You know, we had to fight him for them. But
sure.
We loved Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, just loved it. And then the afternoon shows, the old Batman and Robin and all that. So I think from my generation, that was just big. That's what we had. We didn't have the internet. We had Saturday morning cartoons,
right,
which we just, you know, lived for.
Exactly. Oh, yes, I relate. And I remember taking my brother's comic books also. Well, in, of course, in a comic book, even more so than a regular novel, every story has a villain. So what makes, is it Momo? Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
The villain?
Momo.
Momo? Okay, what makes Momo unique?
Well, Momo is the type of guy that wants to own the world. He wants everything. He wants everything that Alexa Manchester has, and he's just set his sights on getting it. And he wants the Electromite, that magical rock that fell from the sky.
Well,
and,
I mean, there's a lot of sexy men. Go ahead.
A lot of sexy men.
A lot of sexy men in Electromancer's life. I mean, you have Siegfried Sawyer, the which I believe is her chauffeur, and you have the mysterious Blue Arrow. So, I mean, how did you develop these characters and tie them into the storyline?
Well, with every rich heiress, one must have a butler. And when one has a butler, one must fall in love. So he was sort of a natural. He just was a natural. And, of course, he has to be the kind of quiet, silent, deep, still waters. And with the mayor, you know, politician, suave, sophisticated, you know, of course they have to have a beautiful face for the camera.
Sure.
So they came rather easily to me. I mean, they were givens.
Well, now,
I was gonna add to the Momo bit, the villain. He has a whole troop of people that are under him. And, you know, the one that is the unique character is Professor Slipter. He's kind of your mad scientist, and he's got stringy hair, and you can just imagine him. And so he's really fascinated with Electromancer. So, but anyway, he's developed the Big Zapper. The Big Zapper is this weapon that can blast everything, you know. And but anyway, that's what I wanted to add.
Oh, no, absolutely. So did you kind of, when I sit here and I hear you talk about the Big Zapper, and then I look at your father's background, did some of that play into coming up with the Big Zapper idea, or where did you come up with the idea of the Big Zapper?
Yes, actually, my father was the type of guy who could do anything. He was brilliantly smart. He was a fabulous mathematician as well as a physicist. And not only was he kind of a brainiac, he could make things. He gardened. Mm. He grew his own grapes, made his own wine.
We had
the first television in the neighborhood. he bought one of those kits, and he actually sat down on the floor in the den and put it together. So, you know, I can just hear my dad, and he had all these funny, quirky. He was a very funny, funny guy. He'd say all these quirky things. So I can hear my dad saying the Big Zapper, you know, and talking about.
Well, that's immediately what
he
I thought of
would,
after. That's
yeah.
immediately what
and
came
he,
to my mind after you talked about your dad.
Right, right. And he put on his board in his classroom to his students, undergrad, graduate, he'd always bring in comics, and he'd always post them on the board. Or, you know,
oh,
you put him
okay.
on the slide projector. So he was, yeah, I kind of get a lot of my, you know, inspiration from him.
Well, for those who haven't read the books or looked at the synopsis of the storyline, just as Alexa is Electromancer, that's her alter ego, the men in the storyline, you mentioned the mayor, do they have other sides to themselves? Like, is the Blue Arrow the mayor?
Oh, yes. Are there other superheroes?
Right.
Yes, there are other superheroes in this book. And there's Blue Arrow. And then there's others, but, you know, we don't want a spoiler. So
No.
I won't say any more about that. But I will say that Blue Arrow is not the same type of superhero as Electromancer. He was a person that was in, like, the CIA and of Britannia, which is the parallel Britain. And he was experimented on and to become a super soldier. And so he became Blue Arrow and has the ability to transform his body into a cloud, a vapor. And he can elongate and shoot through the sky. He doesn't travel at the speed of light, but he can embrace and intoxicate those that he picks up. I've got a little mastiff puppy, about 180 pounds here, barking in the background and talking, so pardon me on that.
Not a problem.
My daughter's calling on the phone and texting me, but anyway, go ahead. Yes,
no, that's
more
fine. I understand. I have beagles, and we may start hearing them in the interim.
Awesome.
I know this is your first series that has to do more with the comic book now, but you do write suspense and other romance stories too. I mean, tell us a little bit about some of your past stories.
Right. I've written The Libra Affair. That was my debut book. And
okay.
That is I call that a thriller / romance. It's a romantic suspense, but it's more thriller than romance. The romance is the backdrop of the book. And I'm writing more on her. I've written a couple short stories, actually three, the award-winning stories, The Pisces Affair that you talked about, and that was an include that I wrote with a group, a consortium of authors who got together and wrote on a common theme. And what we wrote on is a space probe. And who comes to Earth at different periods of time in history. And so I took my heroine, Jordan Jake, for my thriller series and wrote a short story with her and her encounter with the alien probe. And she has to go to Dubai to protect the Secretary of State at a state dinner. And so that story's won, I don't know, 4 or 5 awards. I won gold medals in that. So that was really exciting.
Yes, I was reading. Mm-hmm.
And then I've written The Virgo Affair, which is included in the Killer Nashville Noir Cold-Blooded anthology. And then I've got another story, The Ophicius Affair, all of these with Jordan Jakes, and that's going to be in the second annual Killer Nashville anthology. And then I've written a sequel that I've got an agent looking at to take it into more of a thriller publisher.
Oh,
congratulations. So I'm going to lean more towards thrillers. However, I've written romance too. I've got a few in my computer that I'm editing, and one is a contemporary. And I don't know. I just kind of I like to write all over the board. In fact, I just wrote a story that I'm going to submit to the Mystery Writers of America. For their anthology, and I'll have my fingers crossed with that, too. And it's aimed more towards children, with R.L. Stein, actually.
Oh,
long
wonderful.
Answer, sorry.
No, it's very interesting. I completely agree with you. I like to write across the board, too. I do children's books and romance, and so I think that's interesting that you're branching out into the children's field.
Now, they used to say you can only write in one genre, but I always fought against that. I always felt like, you know, you can write in anything. In fact, Electromancer is really a cross-genre. It's romance, it's thriller, it's got mystery element to it, it's got comic, it's superhero, you know. So the audience is really broad on that, which was really my aim.
Oh,
and I kept it fairly clean so that I could appeal to a wide audience. Although
but
there
now
are
it
a
is
couple
sensual,
tasty scenes
right?
there. Pardon me. It is
sensual
because because there's two scenes in there. But I think I think they're very tastefully done. They're not explicit, but the fact that there is lovemaking and it does make it sensual.
Sure.
Obviously.
Well, now I love the cover on Electromancer. Did you help design the cover, or who designs your covers?
Yeah, that one was designed by these folks out in California. These people that do a lot of the Hollywood type graphics. So they do. Yeah, it was a special cover. So I'm really, really fortunate to have that. And, yeah, I did get to see it and help develop it.
Well, it's so cool. I mean, it's eye-catching. It's one of those that there's no doubt when you walk in the store, it's going to be the first thing you see. And for our listeners out there, if you haven't seen the cover yet, jump on over to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and you've got to see the cover and read about the book, because it's just – I think it's just so cool.
Well, thank you.
Do you have anything exciting coming up in the writing world that you would like to share with our listeners?
Right. Well, I'm always trying to be active. I'm on this book tour now, which is wrapping up actually today, but the post will still be up there, and you can visit my website at www.authordaco.com. That's authordaco, D-A-C-O.com. And you can find the schedule, and then you can grab the link and then go on and find where I've posted. It's really interesting because I didn't want to just do a regular book tour. I wanted to do something different, so I did character interviews. So I've actually interviewed the characters. I've had D.S. Offenord, alias Deco, interview the characters, and so I just made it crazy, wacky, zany, fun. And not every post is a character interview. I would like that, but every blogger gets to kind of decide whether they want to do a spotlight or an interview or whatever. So I'm doing that. I'm wrapping that up. I'm giving away an Amazon Echo and 5 free ebooks. So you just have to go to one of those posts today before it's too late and register. And then I'm also this week starting to participate co-hosting a forum on the International Thriller Writers, the Big Thrill blog, which we're discussing silence versus having music when you write and when you compose your work. So it's real interesting to see how different authors work and what their opinions are. And then I'm getting ready to go to a book signing in Tennessee with Clay Stafford from Killer Nashville. He's the organizer of that conference, which features all different types of authors, from children's to thriller writers to mystery to whatever. But that's going to be on April 28th at the main event in Franklin, Tennessee, which is just right outside of Nashville for those of you who know the South. But
exciting.
And then, there's always so much going on. Like this summer will be the International Thriller Writers, and, there's the Romance Writers of America, and there's lots and lots to do.
Sure. Well, Nick, you talked about music. You mentioned music. Do you have musical influences that you like to listen to when you're writing?
I am the type of writer that likes silence. I don't like noise. I don't like music, and I don't like, because I get distracted by it, and then I pay attention. A lot of writers will go to coffee shops, but I would only listen to other people talk. I would never write. So I try to get silence when I can, but it's really difficult with dogs and kids and everything, all the nonsense. So.
Well, is there a certain time of day that you like to write?
All the time. I love to write in the morning, and that's when I can really get a lot done. Once I get the kids off to school and then I have silence, I really write. And then in the evenings when there's a lot of craziness, a good glass of red wine will help kind of calm the nerves, and I began to become more creative, and I come up with lots and lots of ideas.
Well, you're a lady after my own heart talking about wine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, red wine, good French, good California.
Exactly. Well, now, since you mentioned the kids and the dogs, is there anything that you're willing to share with our readers about your personal life or what a normal day is like for you or any upcoming vacations,
sure.
anything exciting going on?
Yeah, absolutely. My daughter's graduating high school, so
Wonderful.
She's very excited. Yeah, she's trying to decide what college to go to. And my son is in elementary school, so he's many years left with him. I am engaged to be married to Robert Rothstein.
Congratulations.
He's thank you. He's another author that I actually met through the International Thriller Writers. We
you
were
have
friends
to love that.
And I know, we were friends, and then the next thing you know, we're dating, and then, oh, my gosh, we're getting married. And so we're thinking about eloping over off in Hawaii this summer. So I'm thinking
that sounds
beach,
wonderful.
Wedding, something like that. Luau's and all that. So,
that
yeah,
incredible.
But it's really, really fun because he's a writer, I'm a writer. We've written some stories together. We're in the middle of a project together. And, you know, he critiques my stuff. I look at his stuff. It's just really the best world. We just have everything in common. He's a lawyer, too. He's an entertainment lawyer. So he represents super people like, you know, the big studios and the big famous movie stars. So it's a pretty thrilling life he has. Yeah.
Well, that just sounds like a dream come true relationship to me. I mean, especially two writers, because so many people, it's hard for them to understand a writer's mind and their quirks and trying to find the way they like to write.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing about that is I agree fully except that my son now, who's 10, has gotten the bug. In fact, he is writing a story. I'm the person writing, he's dictating and I'm typing on the computer. And we are plugging out this story about an Iraqi war hero. And he is gung-ho. Every day he's like, Mama, can we go write on my story? I'm like, I got to write on mine first. But it's so endearing. I just love that. And he's so verbal that I think that he's going to be a writer one day himself. If not a sports commentator.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you know that his teachers, especially his English teachers, have to love that.
Yeah. And, you know, but my daughter is the one that's brilliant in reading and comprehension and all that, but she doesn't want to write. So, I can't figure that out.
We need somebody to be buying those books that we're all writing.
There you go. That's it. That's exactly right. Now, she would only read mine.
I understand. Going back to the book, is there a certain scene that's like your favorite scene or a quote that just stands out to you that when you were writing, you went, oh, I love that?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. If I knew you were going to ask that, I would have thought of something.
Sorry.
I just like all the, you know, the crazy sayings that people have. Like, I like Momo calling everybody nincompoop. I just think that's funny. You never hear that word anymore. And so he's just kind of like, and then he kills him. Zap, you're done. You know? So, I don't know. I just leave that for the readers to comment on Amazon and Goodreads, and I hope that they will. I love reviews. It's the best way to stay in touch.
Yes, it's great when they'll reach out to you and let you know. And it's very important, all the listeners out there, we love it when you will post a review. You have no idea how much that means to us. Now,
and what I say is it's like diamond and candy.
Yes. Exactly. Well, how did you come up with the name Electromancer? I mean, obviously because of the electricity powers, but I would have never gone Electromancer.
Well, it's a play on electricity and romance. So if you see the electro part and the romance part, because I just wanted to combine, you know, what would say, okay, what is she? She's not Superman. She's Electromancer. She harnesses electricity, and the backbone of the story is romance. So I just kind of played with the words and put them together. And then Googled to make sure nobody else had that in a story.
Sure. Well, now, is she breaking hearts in the book?
Is she breaking hearts? Well, I guess that remains to be seen, huh? Maybe.
Okay.
Perhaps. Yeah. Well, it depends on if she who she decides to go with in the end, right? And then the other
sure.
one. If there is a love triangle, yes.
Well,
but
now, if
not
you're
your typical.
Okay, not your typical.
Yeah.
You don't see it coming. It surprises you.
Well, the reader does. I think they do. Yeah.
Okay. If you were going to describe the book in three words, what would be three words you would describe Electromancer?
Funny, thrilling. What's another one? What's a good word for comic books and all that stuff? Comic, comedic? Not really comedic.
Or animated.
Mm-hmm. Animated. Yeah. So a lot of people have said, oh, this would make a good movie. I can see this as a graphic novel. Where are the pictures? We need the pictures.
That's what I was about to ask you, is do you hope to maybe see this become a TV show or a movie with the animation?
You know what? That would be fun. And I could think of nothing that I would like more. I just think that would be fabulous.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I could see this, and especially since I believe you said that the publishers want you to continue this on as like a series, right?
Well, I definitely am writing Jordan Jakes as a series, and
mm-hmm.
I might continue this as a series, and I'd like to. It's just going to be a matter of how much can I write and fit in, and if I get a really super response, and I've had some people that say they're looking forward to more adventures. I think I would like to. Be great to sell it to DC, though, wouldn't it? DC
oh,
Comics
wow.
And let
yes,
them carry
absolutely.
It on. Let me be
yes.
advising them.
Yes. That would be fabulous. And I mean, and as you said, your fiancé has connections out there, so maybe he can open the right door for you to talk to the right people, or your publishing house can, because that would be outstanding. And I have no doubt that with the way we see adults now falling in love with these superhero TV shows, that they would fall in love with this animation.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I would love that. I think it would be fun. It's a fun, lighthearted, you know, like Deadpool was so much fun. This is fun,
right.
But in a cleaner way, a more lighthearted way. So, and I love Deadpool, but, you know, it's not for everybody.
Right.
But Electromancer,
well,
I feel like, is.
I'm sorry?
I think Electromancer is more
yes,
general.
For everybody.
More for the general audience.
Well, we're almost
something
out of time,
everybody.
But I want you to share with our listeners where they can buy the book, your websites, your social media sites.
Right. Online, you can Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, iTunes, all the majors. You can go into the bookstores. You can order it. It's a print-on-demand. And you can go to my website, www.authordaco.com. You can go to crimsonromance.com and find it there. And I'm on Facebook at Author Daco. Well, no, that's Twitter, at Author Daco, and then Facebook is just Daco, D-A-C-O.
Okay.
So that should... answer the question, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you have been a blast. I love talking to you. In fact, I'd love to hang out with you over a glass of wine someday. And I encourage
awesome.
Our readers to go check out Electromancer. I think it's going to be the hit of 2016. I have no doubt that it's going to be the way people are going to learn to fall in love with romance, even if they're not into romance novels. I think they're going to be into this animated romance and mystery thriller all wrapped up together. So thanks again for being our guest, and have a
Thank
wonderful
you.
Day.
You too.